Hi, I'm Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. My family has a tradition at Christmas where we throw a birthday party for Jesus. I started this tradition when I was 3 years old, and I asked my mom, "What's Christmas all about?" And she told me it was Jesus' birthday. Well, with my terrific three-year-old logic, I said, "Well, then we should have a birthday party." So we did, and I suggested we have Kool-Aid and songs and cake and candles, which we did. You know, the sad thing is Jesus often gets pushed to the side at Christmas. Imagine if I planned a party for you and I invited a whole bunch of your friends, and when everybody showed up, they bring lots of gifts, but none of them are for you. All of the guests just trade presents with each other. What kind of party would that be? You know, that's what happens at Christmas. We give gifts to everybody else except Jesus. Now you might be thinking, what gift could I give Jesus? What can I give to the God who has everything? Did you know that the Bible tells us about four presents, four gifts that only you can give to Jesus? Let's discover those gifts right now by looking at God's Word together.
Today, on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we begin a series called The Hope of Christmas, with part one of a message called, What Gift Will I Bring to Jesus?, taken from various portions of Scripture. But just before that, you know, so many people request copies of Rick's teaching every day for their personal use or to share with a friend who needs to hear the message. And there are certain key messages that are asked for over and over again. That's why Pastor Rick asked us to put together the very first ever collection of his most requested teachings. This very special 6-CD collection is sure to be a blessing to you, a family member, or a loved one. You can get your copy of the most requested sermons by Rick Warren, Volume 1, right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. Now here's Pastor Rick with today's message.
Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time that Herod was king. Now, first, Bethlehem is the Hebrew word for house of bread. Beth is the word for house, and Lechem is the word for bread. So the bread of life is born in the house of bread. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. Now, Herod was not really the true king of Israel. He was appointed by the Roman Caesar, and everybody hated his guts. He was a puppet king. He was a phony king. He was a placed in residence king by the Roman Empire, and all of the Jews hated him. And Herod was scared to death that his throne would be overthrown continually. He was so paranoid about this. He had all of his kids killed. He had his wife killed. He had other relatives killed. He wouldn't let anybody get close enough to the throne because he was afraid he would be overthrown. So when he hears about a king of the Jews being born, that's going to scare him. After Jesus was born, some wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And they asked, "Where is the baby who was born to be king of the Jews?" Now, there's only one way they could know this. They had to be students of the Bible. So whether they lived in India or Africa or Asia or wherever, somewhere in the east, wouldn't have been Africa, they evidently had the Scriptures. They had the Old Testament, and they were studying, and they had read all of those prophecies where for thousands of years, God had said, "I'm going to send a Savior to earth. I'm going to send the Messiah. I'm going to send the Christ. I'm going to send someone who's going to pay for all the sins of the world." So they obviously knew this, even though they weren't Jewish. "We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." Now, there's nothing unusual about this. Even today, boats and ships use the stars for guidance. And for thousands of years, whether on land or on sea, travelers have used the star to chart their path and say, okay, we're still heading north and things like that. So there's nothing unusual about that. Now, when King Herod heard this, that the king of the Jews was being born, he was troubled. That's an understatement. The Greek there means he was freaked out. And as well as all the people in Jerusalem, Herod called a meeting of the leading priests and all the teachers of the law, and he asked them where the Christ, or the Messiah, the Savior, would be born. And they answered, "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," because the Bible had predicted this thousands of years before, hundreds and thousands of years. Then Herod had a secret meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the exact time that they saw the star. And he sent the wise man to Bethlehem, saying, "Look carefully for the child. And when you find him, come directly and tell me so I can worship him too." Yeah, right. He wants to kill this baby. He wants to kill off any competition. In fact, he did send his legions to Bethlehem, and they killed every baby under the age of two, every baby boy. And by this time, Joseph had been warned in a dream by God, and he and Mary and the baby Jesus had escaped and had gone down into Egypt during this time. And so Jesus actually lived in Egypt for a while as a young baby. After the wise men heard the king, they left. And the star that they had seen in the east went with them until it stopped above the place where the child was. So this is some kind of unique star. It's actually hovering. It's some kind of bright light. We have no indication that anybody else ever saw it. I mean, people have tried to trace it to Halley's Comet and all kinds of different other stars. What was the alignment in that 2,000 years ago? But the truth is, we don't really know. God could have just made it up. He could have made up a small light, and it could have guided them all the way across the long desert to get to Israel. But first it leads them east to Jerusalem, and then it leads them south to Bethlehem. When they saw the star, it stopped over the place where the child was. And when the wise men saw the star, they were filled with joy. Now they came to the house where the child was, and they saw him with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Now I want you to circle the phrase, they came to the house, to the house. Circle that phrase, to the house. I want you to notice that Jesus is not in the stable anymore. The baby has been moved to a house. Now I know your entire life, in every nativity scene, every manger scene that you've seen, and you've got up in your house, it's got Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the cows and the sheep and the donkey and the shepherds over here and the wise men over here. The only problem is it didn't happen that way. The shepherds and the wise men never met because the wise men did not come to the stable. They came a few days later or maybe even weeks later. By this time, Joseph has moved Mary and the baby to a house. They're no longer in the stable. So there's nothing wrong with it. Keep your manger scenes, okay? Okay. I mean, nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying the fact is they both got their Christmas, but they both weren't at the stable. Does that make sense? The wise men, it says, came to the house. Joseph had moved his family into a house by this time. And they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their gifts and they gave him treasures of gold and frankincense and myrrh. As we look at the wise men, I want to ask two questions. First, what made the wise men wise? What made them wise? And the second is, how did they decide on what gift to give Jesus? I mean, what do you give a God who's got everything? And what is the significance behind those three gifts? Now, it's important for you to understand what made the wise men wise, because the wise men were wise because they did five things. And you're going to need to do these same five things if you want to be wise. So get out your pens and let's look at these five things that the wise men did. If you want to be wise, number one, they were seekers of the truth. They were seekers of the truth. And wise people seek the truth. They're not happy with guesses. They're not happy with speculation. They're not happy with just, I wonder. They want to know, what's the truth? What's the truth about life? What's the truth about me? What's the truth about God? What's the truth about my past? What's the truth about the future? Wise men and wise women seek the truth. The Bible says in verse 2, where is the baby who was born to be king of the Jews? They were seeking Jesus. Wise men still seek Jesus today. Wise women still seek Jesus today. Now really, friends, there are two kinds of people in life when it comes to truth. There are speculators and there are seekers. Speculators just guess about the truth. They wonder, they conjecture, they guess, they make assumptions, and they say, well, you know what, I think God is like, and I think God is like, and I think God is like, And, or they'll say, I like to think of God as, well, I'm sorry, but really that makes no sense at all. Because how you think of God doesn't really matter. What matters is the truth.
That's Rick Warren with a portion of today's message called, What Gift Will I Bring to Jesus? In our series, The Hope of Christmas. And there's more great teaching coming right up, so stay with us.
So many people request copies of Rick's teaching every day for their personal use and to share with their friends. There are a few key messages that are so transformational that people request them over and over again. That's why Pastor Rick has asked us to put together the first ever collection of six of his most life-changing teachings. They include Winning with the Hand You're Dealt, The Amazing Power of Forgiveness, The Skills of Leadership, When Your World Collapses, How Can I Know God's Will? And as an added blessing, Rick and Kay's personal testimony following the tragic loss of their youngest son. This very special 6-CD collection is sure to be a powerful source of inspiration for you, a family member, or a loved one. It's yours when you support this broadcast ministry today with a financial gift. Get your copy of the most requested sermons by Rick Warren, Volume 1, right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. Or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you have a smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. When you support Daily Hope, you help bring the hope found in God's Word to people all around the world. Thanks so much for your prayers and your support.
And once again, here's Rick Warren.
Now, really, friends, there are two kinds of people in life when it comes to truth. There are speculators and there are seekers. Speculators just guess about the truth. They wonder, they conjecture, they guess, they make assumptions, and they say, well, you know what? I think God is like, and, or they'll say, I like to think of God as, well, I'm sorry, but really that makes no sense at all. Because how you think of God doesn't really matter. What matters is the truth. What is God really like? I could think God is a fuzzy bunny and be wrong. I could think he's the man in the moon or Elvis reincarnated. What you think about God is irrelevant. What you like to think about God may be comfortable to you, but it's wrong. What you need to know is, what is the truth about God? Not what do I think. Not what do I guess. What do I speculate? Speculators love to argue. They love to discuss. They love to talk about God. And they go in circular reason, round and round and round. They never make any decision, but they just speculate. And they like to get into big talks and arguments and, you know, discussions, maybe even debates. But they're just guessing. Because they don't really want to know the truth. They just want to keep talking about it. Seekers, genuine seekers, on the other hand. God loves seekers. It's when you take the time and the trouble to find the truth. Now, genuine seekers do three or four things. First, they ask questions. That's what the wise men do. They ask questions. They study. They obviously had studied the text because they knew that a Savior was going to be born. They watch what's happening around them. They saw a star. They're alert. They're looking for signs. And they're willing to do whatever it takes to find the answers. Now, if you have doubts about the Bible, and if you have questions about the Bible and about God, and if you are intellectually honest, that means you don't have any preconceptions. You're not already prejudiced. You've not already closed off your mind to certain possibilities. That makes you a seeker, and that's a good thing. God loves seekers, and we do too. Why? Because the Bible says, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. If you are genuinely serious about knowing the truth, you can't miss it. Because God's not going to let you miss it. If you don't have prejudices in your mind, but you are genuinely serious about seeking the truth, I'm absolutely confident you're going to come to it. Because God loves seekers. Now, these wise men were wise because they sought the truth. But more than that, number two, they were willing to go to any length to find it. And that's wise. They were willing to go to any length to find it. This next year in 2011, as we go into Decade of Destiny, I hope you'll go to any length to find the truth about your finances, to find the truth about your health, to find the truth about God, about life, about living, about your family, about the problems that keep you tied to the past, about why those habits and hang-ups still hang on. These guys are willing to go to any length to find the truth. Verse 1 says they had come on a long journey from the east. So these guys have traveled thousands of miles at great expense. It costs them a lot of money. Now here's what's ironic. Jesus is born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is 6 miles from Jerusalem. Jerusalem, in the year 0, you know, history split in AD and BC by this event, in the year 0, Jerusalem is the spiritual center of the world. All of the spiritual activity in the world is taking place in Jerusalem. All of the major religious leaders of the world are in Jerusalem. And not one of them were seeking Jesus. It's guys from the outside who got to come to Christmas. Here's an amazing thing. Herod was the king. He missed Christmas. All the political leaders of Jerusalem missed Christmas. All the religious leaders missed Christmas. It was in their back door. Backyard. All of the business people missed Christmas. Very few actually caught on what was going on that night. I mean, the only people who really knew about the birth of Jesus were Joseph and Mary, Elizabeth and Zechariah, who were relatives, and the mother and father of John the Baptist, Simeon the priest, a few shepherds, and then these wise men. You can have Jesus right in your midst and miss him if you're not looking for him. I mean, this is what's going on here. Contrast the wise men. They're making a 4 to 5 month trip across the scorching hot desert because these guys are serious about seeking God. That's wise. Number 3, they didn't stop until they met Jesus. That's what made him wise. And if you're wise and you're seeking, you haven't stepped across the line yet, you will not stop in your investigation until you meet Jesus face to face. Verse 11, it says, they finally came to the place where Jesus was. Have you finally come to the place where Jesus was? Have you come to that place in your life? If you haven't yet, do not stop seeking. Because it's a fatal mistake to quit the journey too soon before you get to meet Jesus. See, here's what happens. When you're growing up, along about the last years of high school, maybe in your college years, whether you went to college or not, you start asking as a young adult the major questions of life. Why am I here? Who am I? What am I here for? Does my life have any meaning? Is life significant? What is my past? What is my future? Is there any purpose or rhyme or reason to life? These are life's ultimate questions. We talk about them in purpose-driven life. But what happens is you start asking these questions as a young adult, and then you get really busy and distracted by dating, going to school, getting a job, getting married, or having kids, or whatever, and all of a sudden, you forget the primary questions of life. And you stop the journey. That's dumb. You need to find the ultimate questions of life. And a lot of people start off heading in life going, what is the purpose of my life? Who is God? How do I get to know him? What is life all about? And then somehow they get rolled off in the ditch, busy making money, busy improving their golf score, busy trying to be famous, busy having fun, busy impressing other people. And all of a sudden you get distracted and you stop the journey before you get to the end. That's not wise. That's dumb. The wise men are seekers of the truth. They're willing to go to any length to know what is the truth about God, about me, and about life. And they're willing to keep on going, even across a desert. You may be in a desert right now, until they meet Jesus. Now, the fourth reason they're smart, they're wise, is they came for the right reason. They came on this search for truth, on this search for Jesus. They came for the right reason. In verse 2, they say, we have come to worship him. Why were they looking for Jesus? They were looking to show gratitude. They were looking to show honor. They were looking to worship him. They were looking to express their love. You see, A lot of people today, in fact, most people today, want to use Jesus, but don't want to love him. They want to use Jesus, but not love him. We do it all the time. You see, God is not your genie. We want to use, God, I need this right now. Please give it to me right now. And then, God, I need that. Please give that to me right now. And we only use God when we have a need.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with an encouraging closing thought. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Oh, and while you're at the website, please be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. Listen to Rick's messages, click on his social media links, and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org. And please be sure to tell your friends and loved ones about all these great resources. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
As we come to the end of this year, I want to ask you a very personal question. Will you be any different a year from today? Did you know that God wants you to be different by this time next year? God is in the business of transforming lives. He wants to change you so you become more and more like Jesus every day, every week, every month, and every year with more love, more hope, more faith, and more peace in your life. Now here's a hint on how God will change you over this next year. The further away you get from God, the more your life will be troubled. But the closer you get to God, the more your life will be transformed. I want to help you in this transformation. And so at the end of the year, I've put together a collection of six of my favorite sermons to help you. Now, these six messages are messages that God has particularly used at Saddleback Church and on the air and in the lives of many, many people to change hearts and to transform character and to solve problems. These messages will help improve you spiritually and emotionally. They're going to make you healthier in every area. God will use them to transform the way you think, the way you act, and the way you feel. I've seen them be used by God to literally transform relationships. And I want to send these six messages to you as my Christmas gift to say thanks for supporting Daily Hope this year with your financial gifts. You know, we have taken some huge steps and risks this year as we have launched the Final Frontier Project to take the hope of Christ to the 3,000 tribes around the world that still have no Bible, no believer, and no body of Christ. It's a huge project, but we can do this together. You know, one drop of rain doesn't make a difference, but a million drops of rain can turn a desert into a garden. And as you consider your year-end giving, would you please pray about sending a major gift to Daily Hope this Christmas season as your Christmas gift to God? This month, it's important because any gift you give during this Christmas season will actually be doubled. You say, how is that? Well, there's a generous friend of Daily Hope who's so serious about taking the good news and Daily Hope around the world that he's offered up to $50,000, matching up to $50,000 in donations that come in. So I want to encourage you to pray about a special major gift this Christmas at the end of the year. And while I'm at it, I also want to ask you to give me another gift, and that is your prayers. We cannot do this ministry without your prayers. Pray for Daily Hope and the broadcast. Pray for Daily Hope, the daily devotional that goes out to hundreds of thousands of people around the world. And pray for the Final Frontier Project, where we're taking the good news of Jesus to every tribe that has no Bible, no believer, and no body of Christ. If you will join my prayer team, would you let me know about it? Write to me, rick@rickwarren.org, and just let me know, Rick, I'm going to be praying for you, and I'm going to be supporting you. It'll mean so much to me. Thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous support.